Rick, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you, Jane.
I've just spent a wonderfully enjoyable evening with your new book, The Boy Who Would Be Famous, and I found myself laughing out loud again and again.
Good.
I know you consider youngsters your primary audience, but I'm certainly not a youngster, and I had a fine time with it.
Well, I wanted the book to be perhaps a little bit like The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, which is a book that I read aloud to my own son when he was 9 years old, and he loved it. But yet, it's also very much a book that adults can enjoy. The author, Mark Twain, puts on this persona or mask of being Huck Finn, this boy who's telling a story. And that's what I tried to do in my little comic autobiography, The Boy Who Would Be Famous.
You've been called a self-employed Renaissance man. What does that mean?
Well, people use that phrase. I actually think it's a little bit embarrassing. A real Renaissance man would have been a scientist as well as a painter and a poet and all sorts of things. And I'm just, quote, a composer and an author who happens to have a knack for telling stories. So I don't think that really qualifies me as a Renaissance man. But I am self-employed and have been for 2.5 decades now, living by my wits, creating books, music, and then deriving an income from marketing them myself directly to the world.
Well, I think the seeds to what you've become can easily be seen in The Boy Who Would Be Famous. But let's begin with why that boy wanted to be famous. The book covers the years between 1955 and 1960, when you went from 5 to 10 years old. So what was the drive for fame?
Well, my cousin down the street announced very grandly that his family had gotten the World Book Encyclopedia. And I didn't even know what this was until we went to see, and here it was, a set of volumes, and he let us know that everything, as he put it, was in these books. Everything. Everything and everybody that ever was and everything and everybody that is now are all told about in these books. Everything that begins with the letter A is in the A book, and everything that begins with the letter B is in the B book. And I was so excited, I could hardly conceive that all human knowledge would be contained in 20 books. But he said it was true. When I asked my father when I got home, he said, yeah, pretty much everything. And so I could not wait to get my hands on the S volume so that I could see what they told about in the World Book Encyclopedia regarding the Siwash family. I mean, everything is supposed to be in these books, so surely we'd be in there. And I flipped through and I found the S.O. section, you know, John Philip Sousa, South Carolina. And I flipped ahead thinking I'd come any moment on our family. All of a sudden, soybeans. No mention of anybody named Siwash. I was taken aback. Not only were we completely left out of the World Book Encyclopedia, but my grandfather, who everybody knew was a famous inventor, not even he was in the World Book Encyclopedia. So I determined to become the boy I would have to be to get, as I put it, told about in the World Book Encyclopedia.
And what were some of the ways that you thought you might find fame?
Well, I thought I might be an inventor like my grandfather was. He invented something that is in the kitchen of every single one of your listeners right now. It's the little window in the front of the oven door, so you can look inside and see how things are baking. Well, that was his original idea. He was the chief engineer for the Tappan Stove Company, and this invention was what made Tappan Stoves the best stove you could buy in the 1950s. So I thought maybe I'd be an inventor and try to invent something. I thought I'd be an orator and make great speeches. Maybe I could be an explorer and go have adventures and go to places no one had ever been before. I tried my hand at digging for buried treasure and being an archaeologist. I tried my hand at being an ascensionist, trying to figure out ways to rise into the air like the Wright brothers had done and become famous that way. A whole range of things that I tried to do over about a 5-year period to become famous. And none of them made me famous, but in the process, I began to develop the creativity and curiosity that has carried me forward in my life.
Well, I particularly liked reading about the book that you began writing, which was called The Adventures of Fred Flukas. You were picking out the letters on an old typewriter. You really didn't know how to type. You're in second grade, and instead of paying attention in class, you're dreaming up adventures for Fred. And yes. When you go home, you go down to the basement to write them. Now, Fred goes up in a balloon, he goes deep in the ocean, he's marooned on an island, he has trouble with pirates, and he invents a sleigh that is a sailboat for snow. All this, you report, is in the first three pages.
Yes, yes. I set out to write a 500-page book in the second grade. I thought I'd be famous, certainly the first second grader ever to write a 500-page book. But after I had told about all these adventures that you just recounted, I was only on page three. And I was getting tired of sitting in front of the typewriter. And how does anybody write a 500-page book? Of course, there were no details, no description. It was just sheer adventure, one after the next, each getting about two sentences. I didn't have the faintest idea what I was doing, but I was having fun. And I was writing my first story. Not a book, it turned out. I only made it to page 10. But I did finish my first story and got great encouragement from my grandfather for having done so.
Well, an important figure throughout the book is your maternal grandfather, whom you call Dudu?
That's right. Yes, Dudu was and remains the most important person in my life, and really in many ways. He was a great inspiration to me. He was a wonderful storyteller. He was very loving and supportive and on my side and treated me with respect. He didn't talk down to me. He used big words talking to me, and if I didn't understand them, I could either figure them out or ask what they meant, and he would explain. He was a really lovely, lovely man, and I still miss him after all these years.
Well, there's a paragraph in the book in which he talked to you about how inventions come about. And it's an admirable summing up of something we seldom think through. Would you read that for us?
I asked him, how do you invent something? Dudu gave me a long talk about inventions, about how when they were first thought up, they were entirely new, but always made out of stuff that was already around. He said that every single thing had been invented by somebody somewhere. Everywhere. Every single thing in the world was invented by somebody. Gadgets and tools, yes, but also clothes and cars and bicycles and food. And words, too. Words were inventions, he said, made up by somebody who needed a new word for something. A good invention met some need, he said. People needed something, and the new invention gave them what they needed. This was a lot to think about.
Well, the book ends with three important things happening. Your family moves to the suburbs, so the neighborhood and the friends and the school that are important in this book will be gone. Your youngest brother is born, and Dudu dies. And as a reader, it's a loss when he goes. Clearly, life will be different as a result of all these things, and this part of your life ends, but you've also learned something about fame.
Well, at the beginning of the book, the little boy, me, has this earnest quest to become famous. And to him, that is the most important thing. The most important thing is to become sufficiently famous to be told about in the World Book Encyclopedia. But by the end of the book, as he grows and matures and reaches the advanced age of 10, he comes to see that being famous is not the most important thing. Being mentioned in the World Book Encyclopedia is not the most important thing. Most important thing he comes to see is to make something of yourself, something worthy, something that you can look back on with pride and happiness, even if you never become famous, even if you never become told about in the World Book Encyclopedia.
Rick, thanks so much for coming in to talk about your new book with us.
It's been a pleasure.
We've been talking with Rick Sowash about his new book, The Boy Who Would Be Famous, explained in its subtitle as The Comic Endeavors and Curious Pursuits of an Adventurous Lad Growing Up in America's Heartland. For more information, see WVXU.org. For Around Cincinnati, this is Jane Durrell.